Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to City Union Bank Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prabal Gandhi from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Gandhi.
Thank you, Neeraj. On behalf of Ambit Capital, I once again welcome you all for City Union's third quarter call. On the management side, we have Dr. N. Kamakodi, MD and CEO, and Mr. J. Sadagopan, CFO. Without further ado, I'll hand over the call to Dr. Kamakodi for his opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Hearty welcome to all of you for this conference call to discuss the unaudited financial results of City Union Bank for the third quarter ended 31st December 2023. Board approved the results today, and I assume you all have received the copies of the results and the presentation. During the past three con calls, we had shared with you all the following expectations for the financial year 2023-24. We are aiming at 12%-15% growth for the year financial year 2024, and the growth skewed towards year-end. We are working hard to achieve double-digit advance growth. We are working to accelerate proper implementation of the digital lending process initiated with the help of BCG, and we have already rolled out first phase of the automated loan underwriting process. It may take a few quarters to show benefits in our bottom line. Despite headwinds in the margin, base figures, and growth, we expect we should be closing financial year 2024 with decent PAT growth, substantial reduction in NPA, improved coverage ratio, and ROA close to our long-term average of 1.5%. Our recovery is more than the slippages. We expect the same to continue for remaining quarters, and our slippages will be back to the pre-COVID level. We will strengthen the leadership team to make organization future-ready with digital, retail, etc., so that they will become the growth engine for the future, unquote. We are here, we are by and large progressing on these lines, except the growth, which is also we are just started seeing positive trends. With the implementation of the digital process, we have started seeing things turning positive in a phased manner. While most of our peers are achieving mid-teens growth in advances aided by growth in retail consumption lending, unsecured lending, personal lending, etc., as discussed earlier, we are not active in those areas. Post-pandemic, the growth was settling during mid-financial year 2022. When we compare December 2022 with December 2021, we had a terminal advance growth of 12%, and daily average advance growth for the month December to December was 14%. Post-COVID, our concentration remained on gold loans, and we had grown by 34% in gold loan segment in the same period. After regulatory observation on KCC Agri loan in December 2022, we had to degrow the KCC gold loan amounting to about 4,000 crore starting from January 2023 by completely stopping new KCC loan, which stood at 229 crore as of 31st December 2023 from 4,000 crore as we discussed. During the corresponding period, our non-agri gold loan grew by 28% or 1,200 crore. You may also remember about the divergence issue last year. Because of these disturbances, our daily average advance growth started reducing from 12%-14% in December 2022 to 3%-4% till September 2023. We also started introduction of the digital lending processes. Now only we are seeing things settling. For the last two months from November, we are able to see rupees 400-odd crore monthly credit growth turning up, which should translate into restoring 12%-14% annualized growth going forward. We hope that introduction and settling of digital lending processes should also support this growth. All other factors have settled well. The recoveries in NPA are increasing over and above the slippages, resulting in reduction in the gross NPA, net NPA and provision requirements. Hence, we are able to see decent PAT growth because of reduced credit cost, even though there are headwinds in growth and operating profit for us. Our PAT had grown by 16% in Q3 financial year 24 and stood at 253 crore compared to 218 crore in Q3 financial year 23. The ROA for Q3 financial year 24 was 1.49% compared to 1.34% in Q3 financial year 23 and 1.52 for 9 months financial year 24, which is our long-term average. The PAT for 9 months financial year 24 is 761 crore and we hope to cross 4-digit PAT figure for financial year 24 as said during our earlier con calls for the first time. Our annualized slippage ratio for Q3 has come down to 1.7% in Q3 financial year 24 from the peak of 5.56% annualized in Q4 financial year 20. It has also reduced from 2.06% in Q2 financial year 24, showing sequential decrease and coming closer to pre-COVID level. The slippage for Q3 financial year 24 is 187 crore, while total recoveries made is 289 crore, comprising of 224 crore from live NPA accounts and 65 crore from the technically written off accounts. As said in our last con call, live recovery has surpassed the live slippage in the current quarter as well. We expect this trend to continue in the coming quarters also. The gross NPA declined to 4.47% in Q3 financial year 24 as compared to 4.66% in Q2 financial year 24 and 4.91% in Q1 financial year 24, showing sequential decrease. The net NPA declined to 941 crores as on 31st December 2023 and is at 2.19% for Q3 financial year 24 compared to 2.67% in Q3 financial year 23. The net NPA is also decreasing trend in the current financial year, that is 2.51% in Q1 FY24, 2.34 in Q2 FY24 and 2.19% in Q3 financial year 24. Our yield on advances for Q3 financial year 24 stood at 9.62% compared to 9.16% in the corresponding quarter last year. If we factor one-time interest reversal of around 25 crore from the for the non-performing FITL loans, that is funded interest term loans, the yield would have been 9.85% for Q3 financial year 24. Our NIM for the current quarter is at 3.5% and for 9 months financial year 24 is at 3.63%. If we factor the above one-off item, our net interest margin for the third quarter would have been 3.67% for the Q3 financial year 24 and 3.69% for the 9 months financial year 24. Our cost to income ratio for Q3 financial year 24 is at 48.64% and the same is at 45.65% for 9 months financial year 24. As said in our earlier con call, the cost to income ratio will be at elevated level due to the cost involved in the automation process and it will come back to the 40 to 45% range post completion of the same. So far, we have opened 20 branches in this financial year, taking our total number of branches to 772. By this financial year and financial year 2024, we are planning to open our 800th branch. The process of strengthening the leadership term is at advanced stage. The first set of senior team members are joining in February, that is this month soon. They will be contributing to strengthen our capabilities in digital lending, retail, data analytics, etc. Before the next quarter results, most of them would have joined our bank. The details will be in a position to share with you in the next annual con call. To sum up, we should be achieving the 4-digit PAT for financial year 24 for the first time. Our NPA slippages have come down significantly and the live NPA recoveries have surpassed live slippages. Hence, going forward, we are on the right track of getting back to pre-COVID level of NPAs. Our performance level is by and large as per our numbers sharp, except for growth. For the past 2 months, we are seeing positive growth as per our expectation and we expect the same will get better and better. The digital lending process is going as per the schedule, which will help in achieving the improved credit growth in the coming quarters. And ROAs are back to 1.5%, which used to be our long-term average. And net interest margin is also stable. Overall, with these opening remarks, I leave the forum for questions. We will over to you all.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Mona Khaitan from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening. So my first question is on growth. So if I got it right from your opening remarks, you're saying that guidance for FY24 has been maintained at 12 to 14%.
No, I don't think we will be able to cross double digit. We are hopefully we should be getting closer to the double digit.
Okay, got that. And secondly, you mentioned about this FITL impact which hurt your yields in Q3. So could you just elaborate a bit what exactly has happened here and how that has resulted in interest reversal?
See, the FITL is the, the facility which was given to the loan when the restructuring was done during the COVID. This 25, FITL is nothing but the, you are giving funded interest term loans as the part of the restructuring package. And this 25 crore reversal is from the interest income of those FITL given to those borrowers. And this is the portion of the interest for those restructured loans which turned into NPA. So that 25, on one side, this is the reversal from the interest income.
Got that. Okay, because of some restructured book turning into NPA. Got it, sir. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mohit Jain from Tara Capital Partners. Please go ahead. Mohit, may I just unmute your line? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. I have a further question on the growth guidance that you're talking about. I think you said we will be somewhere in near to double digit. So that means that we have to effectively get a growth rate of 8 to 9% in this quarter. Which seems very optimistic considering the fact that past three quarters it has been a negative growth to a very low single digit growth of 2 to 3%. So what makes us optimistic about achieving that 9 or 8-9% growth also, and how has been the progress in the month of January so as to get any comfort on this number?
See, you are right in the sense that if you had tried to see our fourth quarter growth in the past, so we typically used to have about 2,200 to 2,400. Say, for example, our highest was in 21-22 fourth quarter when we had 2,768 crore. And we had the earlier 2 years lower, but before that and all, about 2,428 and 2,311 and things like that. As you said, the point is that it is it may look optimistic only, and I will not be in a position to assure everything, but what I can definitely tell you is that 2-3 things which are happening now which has to support us. One is that whatever unwinding of KCC book on gold loan as discussed, it is by and large over. So we should be seeing some amount of growth back in the gold loan. The first phase of automated lending for less than 3 crore is by and large through, which would also support. See, basically now, as we had discussed in the past, like say there were during the COVID and also when we had like say multiple headwinds, like say from various quarters, we are setting one piece after the other back on track, and by, and we are able to do that without basically compromising on the overall ROA and PAT. So our levers now currently are, which are favorable, are the NPA slippages and recovery. With that, we are managing our profitability growth. At the same time, the challenges in the growth are getting addressed one after the other. We are trying our best to have everything together. I mean, we have to see that in that way only. And we are putting our best effort to achieve all these pieces together. And as of now, like we will see as it comes. But we are able to see, particularly for the last 2 months, the average, let's say, credit growth and all is coming back to about 1% per month and things like that, which should accelerate, because in these last 2 quarters, the complete unwinding of gold loan was not over. So keeping all these things into account, we are working, we are trying to pass this period without ensure the profitability and return matrices are properly maintained. At the same time, before we exhaust these levers, growth is also back when we should start seeing the NII growth and operating profit growth.
So this first thing, actually in Q2 also we had this guidance of a double digit, I think 12 to 14%, and in between there was some media article which said that the growth is going to come down to a very low single digit of 1 or 2%, but I think the company clarified that we are sticking back to the original guidance, and I think that clarification came somewhere in the mid of December. So if in December it was being said that 12 to 14 is the original to which we are sticking.
No.
And of these last 2 months, you are saying 1% is the growth rate in last 2 months it is happening. So
yeah,
what should we read the overall guidance, sir?
See, the point which when I started, I said I compiled all the points which were given in the earlier con calls. So first con call we expected 12 to 14%. And then we had to moderate it to like say double digit. And some of the things, whatever we expected, though they are directionally positive, we are yet to get the full grip and all. Now we are seeing some amount of positive step, particularly from all directions wherever we had negative impact, and we are putting our best effort to take it forward. So till that, before we achieve the, let's say, growth, fortunately our other levers are working, even though we had like say headwinds in terms of the growth. Other levers, particularly on the like say the asset quality front, is helping us. That is why we are able to manage our PAT growth and moving forward. So the point is that till we get that full grip on the growth, we have sufficient like say oil in the cylinders for the credit cost. So we will, we are also waiting on putting our best effort. That's why I say these are all the things we told. We are giving our best effort. Let us see how things move forward.
Okay. And so just one follow-up. That we are targeting.
Well, sorry, we lost your audio. Can you repeat your question once again?
Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. What is?
Mohit. Yeah, Mohit, can you hear us?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Yeah, what is the deposit growth that we are targeting for the year?
We will have the deposit growth matching the, let's say, credit growth. We are not going very aggressive in deposit growth. We are balancing them. So we once we like say stabilize all, because we have our credit deposit ratio around 80 to 83%, and also since our Tier 1 capital adequacy is above 20%, we have adequate like say the deposit growth will not hamper the advances growth anytime sooner. So we are we will start working out on the deposit growth once we are able to fix this.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Franklin Virus from Equentis Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So could you please, you know, maybe elaborate on this YOY growth? I was not very clear because at the start you mentioned 12 to 15%. So does that hold true?
No, see, I recollected what and all we discussed during the earlier three conference call. At the beginning, we expected the growth rate to be between 12 and 14%, and we thought it should be at least a double digit. And now, as we told, we are not giving you any expected number and all. So we are putting our best effort to, get as close as possible to the double digit growth. The things which are, positive for us is the gold loan degrowth of 4,000 crore in KCC segment, which happened last year. That book is almost unwound. And then the first stage of digital lending process has started. And we also have started seeing about, 400-odd crore growth in the last couple of months. So the things have to progressively get better and better is what I have told for the future.
Yes, and so how long will it take for you to, achieve, come back to that 12 to 15% guidance that you stated in September?
Probably we will give you some, the exact number once we get the total grip in the fourth quarter when we meet during the next con call.
Okay, sir, and also you had guided on lower NPAs by March 24. So does that hold true, and is there any visibility beyond that as well?
Yeah, as of now, as I told you, the in fact we told in the earlier con calls, we get the benefit of about not less than for both last year and also for this year. Not less than about 200 crore benefit, compared to the previous year in credit cost because of the lower slippages, lower slippages vis-a-vis the recovery and all. We are able to see that point visible for a few more quarters at least. Now, as I told in the earlier con call and all, we used to operate, in the past and all, the normally about 6 to 8% SMA2, of which about 1/3, about 2% will become NPA and all. But now, post this, the cleanup which happened because of the across all fronts, we are able to see the. And now the slippages have come back, come to less than 2%, and also the SMA2 numbers and all, it was around in 2-ish percentage, perhaps lowest whatever we have dealt in the past. So these numbers are giving us confidence that the lower slippages and higher recoveries which are happening will be able to protect our PAT growth and also lowering of our NPA as we move forward.
Yeah. So what I was trying to understand is this improvement, is it likely last only for one quarter wherein we see better recoveries and upgrades, or could there be more?
Yeah, at least for not less than 3-4 quarters.
3-4 quarters. Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajakumar Vaidyanathan, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. The first question is on the recent floods in Tamil Nadu. So I just want to know what is the impact of that in terms of the stress. And the second question is...
Please repeat the first question.
Yeah, the first question is on the recent floods in Tamil Nadu state where, your bank has a significant presence. I just want to know what is the impact in the current quarter, and do you expect any stress in the upcoming quarter?
Very insignificant. In Thoothukudi floods, at operating level, about 3-4 branches could not function for about 2-3 days, and even water came in our couple of branches and all. Those sort of operational issues were there. Even in Chennai flood, maybe that, the extra couple of days of holidays were there. Apart from that, there was not much of impact. We don't expect any significant impact because of floods so far, which is material.
Okay. And sir, the second question is, we have seen the bond yields have started softening. So I just want to know do we expect any uplift to the bottom line in the upcoming quarters?
Please repeat the question.
No, I'm talking about the 10-year G-Sec bond yields have started softening today. After the budget, we see that the significant drop in bond yields. So just want to know what would be the impact or how much uplift we will get in the upcoming quarters.
So you will have some profit booking activities since the yields have increased significantly. The drop which has been seen today is only maybe 10-15% of the increase in yield that had happened in the last year or so. So if this trend continues, we may have, but I am not sure to what extent this trend will continue, number one. Number two, from 1st of April 2024, the rules of, holding in HTM, the profit booking concepts and all are changing. If the yield decrease in the next year, under the current rule, you can book profit in the HTM up to 5%. If it crosses 5%, you have to disclose the mark to market. But under the new rule, you cannot make any sell beyond 5% at all. So the in that. So the profit opportunity, whatever you are seeing as of now, I won't say it will be very very significant and all to book it. But if this trend continues, the profit booking opportunities will be there in the fourth quarter, but it cannot continue for the next quarter.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Arul Selvan, an independent advisor, Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yes, great. I just wanted to understand a little bit more about the changes that have been implemented to bring about digital lending. You were talking about the project that was advised by BCG, right? Could you just give us a little bit more color on what kind of changes have been, what kind of initiatives have been taken by the bank so far?
See, as I told you, the first phase of the project is over. In that, all the, facilities which are less than 3 crores, now the turnaround time for the customers could be as low as 1 day, probably 70-80% of the things, the turnaround time for giving in principle sanction can happen within 48 hours or so. Earlier, this entire process used to take weeks, if not months, number one. So this is going to make the customers to receive our decision for facilities which are less than 3 crore. It may be considered as good as instantaneous. Now we have started our project for in enhancing this to 3 to 5 crore. So the 3 to 5 crore, the testing has already, the parallel working has already started. Now what we are having is that we are both processing them manually and also through the system. We will be going ahead with that for about 1 month, let's say, comparing the results of the both. And whatever tweaking that needs to be done on the parameters and all will be done in the due course. So by, let's say, in the next 1 month or so, if everything works well, we will be in a position to give the in-principle sanction for all the, facilities less than 5 crore. The decision, if all the data input and the supporting document are given by the customers and uploaded, we will be able to give most of the cases on the same day and maybe at 80-90% of the cases in the next 48 hours. So this is for the turnaround time and the customer experience. And the second thing, what is happening is that, like say, this will help us, like say, based on the vast track record, like say NPA performances, lot of API integrations and all, many of the parameters which will be influencing an account, the probability of default and all, are now captured, and the system will give the decisions based on the APIs integration and parameter testing and all, and it will give a better measurement of probability of default. And give a decision whether those proposals can be accepted as it is, or which needs a manual checking, or which should not be accepted at all, which is expected to continuously reduce the probability of default of the portfolio, which will be you will take a few quarters for that to stabilize. Overall, one, it is going to, number one, reduce the turnaround time and make the customer experience much better. Number two, it will be making the measurement of probability of default better and the decision, aiding the decision making in a much better manner. Third thing is that this will open up lot of surplus capacity in the both credit sales and also processing and all, which will increase our capacity to meet more customers, source more, and also to make credit processing centers to take a better decisions and more quality work. So customer experience part is immediate. It could be felt by the customers immediately. So we have already started giving it for less than 3 crore. So in the next few weeks, it will be increased to 5 crore. And then it will be increased up to 7.5 crore, which is given as the threshold for the retail by the regulator. So this is basically the crux of that entire thing, which is basically all the checking that had to be done manually and all, even our internal parameter, external parameter, those things get now automated, and the turnaround time from weeks, it gets reduced to hours.
Okay, that's great to hear. I was actually trying to understand whether this would have some sort of an impact on the core quality of the underwriting team. Would it aid the team, or would it have no difference? Is there, I'm trying to understand if the automation also includes a component which affects the quality of the underwriting.
Absolutely.
Does that remain the same? Does it?
No.
Yes.
Absolutely. You have multiple impacts. One, as I said, the quality of turnaround time for the customer, number one. Number two, the quality of decision making will be much better, because the actual probability of default and the health of the proposal, the points which cannot be seen by the naked eye in the manual processes and all, are now easily added to the automation because of a lot of API integrations and things like that. So the quality of decision making will improve, and the slippages will drastically come down as you move forward, which has already been visible from the some of the banks which have gone into this path. So you are going to have betterment in the TAT, and you are also going to have your system getting more capacity to process more proposal and source more proposal to get a better growth with the same amount of capacity, and also reduced slippages because of the better measurement of risk using the automated advanced tools.
Okay, that was very helpful, sir. My last question here is regarding the kind of segments in which you're planning on using these digital processes. I know you've said as of now it's below 3 crores, but is there any specific segments that you're specifically using right now?
See, basically now the immediate requirement, our core breadwinner is the, MSME loans. That was the first product to go online for less than 3 crore. Then non-MSME loan for less than 3 crore. Then MSME and non-MSME for less than 5 crore. Then to 7 crore, 7.5 crore. Then we also need to build up strengths for secured retail products like loan against properties, housing loans, and maybe over a period of time for the unsecured portion also. As we have told in the last con call, over the next 5 years or so, we may be having some amount of small amount of unsecured portfolio in our portfolio and all, for which things have to start in a small way where you need the sort of automation and all. But as of now, on the immediate future, you don't have got any major changes in the overall composition. So we are introducing this digital lending processes for all the exposures less than 7.5 crore in those segments where we are which are our breadwinners currently.
That's very helpful, sir. Thank you very much. I'll get back into the queue if I have any further questions.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Karthik from Pinpoint Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Sir, just wanted to get a sense on how is the underlying demand for credit in your core segment, which is MSMEs? Because you had mentioned in Q2 that finally, after several quarters, you're starting to see underlying credit demand improving. And clearly, the fact that loan growth has been sluggish in this quarter means that you are still getting your system ready in order to disburse. So just wanted to get a sense on how much of this sluggish loan growth is a function of your readiness and how much of it is on account of sluggish credit demand.
See, the we are seeing the things are getting better and better. Where and all we are seeing betterment and where and all we are not seeing, I will just give you in two, three sentences. One item where we are seeing significant, request from the MSME borrowers is, for example, the introduction of, solar. Now we used to have a lot of requests for windmill in the past. Now for renewable energy, solar, it is going very high. If you look into the whether there is a capacity expansion in the, whether the request, lot of requests are coming for the capacity expansion in the usual MSME front, it has improved, but I will not say that it has reached the peak level or something extraordinary. So it was very dull, but now we have started seeing things improving on that direction also. One of the things which is not working so well is that the textile export sector from our part, which used to be a significant portion of maybe 15-20% of the overall capacity here, there is a sluggishness over there, and hence that particular sector is also now made available to the domestic. And also you had cotton prices moving up and down and all, some sort of it was a moderate level of incremental growth, and there is also some amount of reduction in the cash credit utilization and all. But nevertheless, overall activity level and all are not gloomy. They are improving stage by stage in a phased manner. And the proposals which have started coming and all, during the COVID, we had literally shut us from onboarding of the new customers on credit and all. But the things, the credit proposal request and other things have, like say, started getting back to the pre-COVID level, and it is showing improvement. At the same time, we had our own issues which we had discussed at length and all. So all the issues are settling down. So we feel there has to be a firm upward tick as we move forward.
Sure, sir. Thanks. So leave aside the next quarter, because I think you're one of the few banks that has the luxury of a comfortable LDR, and your deposit growth is exceeding loan growth. So if you were to look out, say, the next 12 or 18 months, that this entire BCG implementation will be up and running, and the operating environment for some of the MSMEs that you are alluding to were to improve, what kind of credit growth do you think this new system or the new city union that they are trying to build, the legacy that they are trying to leave behind, what kind of loan growth do you think this will support? And then would you like to throw a number? Or?
See, this is one thing which we had been discussing for, like say, multiple years. If you ask me clearly, my focus will be to, like say, we have, like say, from, we used to operate at about 15-16% return on equity, which came down to 10% during the, like say, first year of COVID, and improved steadily, and currently it is about 13-odd%. My focus will be to, in, like say, in the next, like say, 4 to 8 quarters, to reach, like say, growth rate of around, like say, 16-17%, so that you you increase your return on equity also around that level, so that and for which we should be in a position to, I mean, I will come back to your question on deposit later. So our plowed back profit should be in a position to take care of our growth, so that there is a sustainable growth rate is achieved, and things are getting improved step by step, which we have demonstrated over a period of almost 2 decades. The coming to the deposits, we don't have any, like say, and you have to, what you have to assume is that the bottlenecks in deposits and bottlenecks in advances used to happen alternately. And it's a cyclic thing. I mean, don't think today you feel the systemic deposit rate is low. Well, similarly, people say that the entire money is getting to the, like say, SIP, people are getting out of the deposit market and all such things and all. It's a, this sort of, if you ask the previous generation of, I mean, my seniors and all, they used to say, like say about 25 years back and all, how much difficulty they had in mobilizing deposits. Nobody used to bother advance growth rate, and the entire focus of the organization and each and every employee, people will be talking only about the deposit growth. This is something which will be happening on and off. It is now getting widely accepted that the average credit growth of the system will be between, like say, around 15% or so. Our like say effort will be to like say slightly exceed that, and have like say profitability metrics and return on equity, and also the deposit growth rate matching that, so that there will be a sustainable level of progress as we have done in the past pre-COVID.
Oh, thank you, sir. It's very helpful. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajat Jain, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Actually, most of my questions have been answered, but still just a couple of them. You said this cost to income has currently impacted due to this expense on account of BCG and the digitization. So how long do we see that continuing, for next couple of quarters or so?
Yeah, maximum.
Okay. And sir, since, I mean, you spoke at length in the...
Pardon?
I mean, I spoke earlier about the implementation of the digital lending, 3 crores in the first stage, phase 2 up to 5, and then going to 7.5 crores. So, sir, if I look at in terms of number of loans, I mean, if I, the number of loans which are up to 7.5 crores, which I presume would be a very large part of your loan book, right?
See, the basically how it works is that, like say, the less than 7.5 crore roughly will work out about 60-70% of our total loan book. But the numbers will change. You will be having significant number of proposals less than, like, say, 50 lakhs, 25 lakhs and things like that. You will not be able to, average it out by 7.5 crore or 5 crore and only this much number of proposals. That doesn't work that way.
Okay. So my point is that once you automate this process, I mean, you really free a lot of capacity which would otherwise have been deployed in credit appraisal and site visits and so on and so forth, right? Which could now be fully parameterized and automated.
Yeah, precisely. That was what I was telling.
So, sir, but even with this new system, you will still have the site visit process and so on, or you will fully go to the automated mode now?
See, we had a parallel run of, 3 crore, less than 3 crore, both technical and also the, manual. Once we get a satisfactory thing, we are moving on to the, decision-making through that. Parallelly, you will be having about maybe 15-20% sampling that is getting continuously monitored to ensure that the system is not leaving any factor and all. So the on an ongoing basis, if you look into 5 to 7 crore, the digitization will be helping us with this decision. But I won't say that the entire outcome will be purely based on the 100% automated. So it will be a combination of both input from it will reduce the manual decision making to a greater extent whenever the proposal is more than 5 and less than 7.5 crore. It will add a lot of value as you move forward in terms of, capacity creation and things like that, and capacity to process more proposals and things like that.
Understood. Just one last question. You said because the Kisan Credit Card linked gold loan came down from 4,000 odd crores December 2022 to about 250 odd crores this year. So if you adjust for that, the growth in advances actually would have been, what would the growth in advances have been had you not adjusted for those, that decrement?
Maybe, even if we assume, 50% of that, if it had come for other products and all, at least another 5% extra growth should have come for the calendar year 23.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kunal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Happy evening, sir. Sir, you had mentioned that there was a one-off item which, if you exclude that, your NIMs would have been 3.67% for Q3 FY24. Can you please repeat that? What was that one-off
item? See, basically, whenever you are, restructuring facility, during the COVID restructuring facility, there is something called as funded interest term loans, which is unserviced interest during the standstill class was there and the repayment and all were not happening. They were all given as funded interest term loans. So funded interest term loans, now whenever they turn NPAs, that interest portion of about 25 crore had been reversed from the interest income now. I mean, in earlier cases, normally what will happen is that if an account becomes NPA, you will be making provision after the operating profit. But since this FITL portion is the unserviced interest portion, normally if an account becomes NPA, you always have the interest recognition on accrual basis. So if 90 days norms are applied and if an account becomes NPA, the unpaid interest will get reversed. Here in that FITL portion, when an account becomes NPA, for other regular, basically this FITL portion is unserviced interest and hence it has to be reversed from the interest income. Which amounts to one-off item of 25 crore. If you add that, as I said, the net interest margin would have been higher.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chintan Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. First question on the growth guidance. So if we look for FY25, so like we mentioned that we are seeing a growth of 1%, now around 1% per month. So FY25, can we assume a growth rate in double digit, like around 15% odd? Is that a reasonable assumption, FY25?
See, it appears now, as of now, like that. Similarly, it appeared like that in some of the earlier occasions, but some amount of deviations happened. So we are, having things look with some amount of positivity now. So let me commit a firm number as we get closer and have at least a couple of months or a couple of more quarters of firm performance, and then let us take it. So whatever I am trying to assume is that, okay, now I am having sufficient, oil in the cylinders to fire for the profitability and return growth from my asset quality and credit cost front. I will stabilize this with this, and we are putting our best effort to maximize our growth rate, and the situations are favorable on all these things. Once we get a firm foot on the, after we demonstrate for at least one or two quarters, I will commit you a firm number. But as of now, it appears that all the factors are, favorable for going towards that 1% plus for every month, which works out to the 12 to 14% and all. We should be in a position to accelerate further once the other metrics are also settling. We are putting our best effort and hard effort to get that in that direction.
Sure, sir. So just to add on that, if we assume like 15% loan growth for 25, so correspondingly we would also need a similar kind of deposit growth, right, to meet the demand. Loan growth demand. So, and currently for this year, the deposit growth is roughly around flat on your YTD basis. And despite that, the cost of deposit has seen a massive spike. So, how do we make sure that we'll be able to raise even deposits of around 15% YOY growth, and cost of deposit, how would that be impacted? Then would that also see a spike continuing, or will that be stable? Any thoughts on that?
See, always we had seen multiple cycles when you have the deposit growth and advance growth, they don't match each other. That's why I was giving about how it happened in the things and our earlier experience and all. What I can definitely tell you is that, deposit growth should not be an impediment for the advances growth as we move forward, is what I am trying to say. I don't know whether you are, you might have observed, we have about 87-88% of our deposits either from the CASA or from the pure retail deposits as per the definition of the RBI. So we don't feel that we will be having the deposit growth as an impediment for the credit growth, which we have to work out and take it forward. And we are managing the deposit growth so that there is no negative carry, and by and large things are matching and managing. We should be able to have that, which we don't expect that to be an impediment.
Sure, sir. I was just trying to understand that. So assuming that we have a decent growth on FY25, margin should not be a damper in any case. Matlab, by way of yield on advances or by way of cost of deposits, if there is a spike in a cost of deposits or the decline in the yields, then again the margin should be under pressure. So that should, matlab, is that case? Can that be a case? Or not?
See, issue is that it will not be as material as you are expecting now. Some amount of, if you had seen the things in the past, we have managed this movement of cost of deposits and our yield on advances in such a way that we are able to have a smoother thing. Ultimately, the ROA profile will not get affected. It will be moving in a band. Like say, for example, we said we will be moving in a plus or minus 10% band, and if you remove this one-off portion, we are very, very well within that, and we don't expect that. I mean, as we have declared, as we have explained always, the margins will expand during an interest rate increasing interest rate scenario, and there will be a smaller contraction during the decreasing interest rate scenario till your term deposits are repriced. So some amount of minor, aberration will be there. But we have, seen that in the last 50 quarters of our bank, the net interest margin had been in a small band, which you might have seen. Above 4% was for about 3-4 quarters, which was an aberration. Apart from that, the current level of whatever you are seeing, we don't see any major impact because of this.
Sure, sir. And just one last question from my end. Just a data keeping question. So what would be the total provision on the restructured portfolio which we have of around 1,000 crores?
It should be about 10% at an average 100 crores. It will be the exact numbers probably you may call our CFO or Jaraman. That number should be about 10% is what is needed.
Sure, sir. And sir, we have made some contingent provisions during the quarter. So what would be that regarding any specific or it is in general practices you have been following?
It's a general thing, which we, depending upon the situation at that point of time, we take a call.
Okay. And so COD, actually the cost of deposits during the quarter has seen a steep hike. So there are no one-offs to that, right? It's just normal 16 books COD.
It's a normal thing. And almost to that proportion, the yield has also increased. If you take out this one-off thing, the similar amount of, that's why the margins and all also have hold up.
Thank you. Chintan, sorry to interrupt you. Request you to come back for a follow-up question. Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant so the management can address everyone. The next question is from the line of Neil Mehta from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. So post the divergence report by the RBI last year, have there been any subsequent comments in general on the bank systems or the way the business model is being run in the course of the RBI annual audit?
See, the whatever divergence we had was for the audit for the date 31st March 2022, which is over. Further, we had 31st March 2023. There was no disclosure needed, which we said, I think, along with our second quarter results are so. And there was an observation on, recognition of, events happening post balance sheet date, which we disclosed during the first quarter results for the 30th of June. All those issues are now behind us. And no more thing is pending on that, and things have come back to the normalcy.
Got it, sir. Got it. And so secondly, we are hearing the regulator commenting, on the business models of banks increasingly, especially in the sense that banks that have higher geographic concentration or product concentration, they've been given nudges to sort of.
Pardon? Please repeat the question.
By their business model. So we are seeing the RBI commenting increasingly on the business models of banks. And so considering our bank is geographically concentrated and, in terms of product concentration also, we probably have one hero product that accounts for most of our book. Have we received any feedback from the regulator to sort of diversify our business, not just in terms of geography outside of Tamil Nadu, but, also in terms of the product mix, which is currently heavily skewed towards MSME and trade loans?
We have not heard anything like what you are saying so far, but it is an ongoing exercise every year. All these things are looked into, and we receive feedback and we take required course correction on an ongoing basis. And it happens every year. It is not something now. This used to this sort of thing on concentration and all. That's why we have, per buyer exposure, what is that, largest exposure, how we are looked into. All these things are, scrutinized and commented always. And for which we have to continuously work to ensure that, everything is proper and taken care in a proper fashion.
So no specific directions from the RBI basically?
No.
On this front? Got it, sir. Thank you. Those were my two questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Puneet from Macquarie Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah, sir, just one data keeping on the digital transformation front. We are working on BCG. I think you mentioned on the call it is done or it is going to start next month.
Which one?
On the digital transformation thing that you are working with BCG, where you are aligning your systems.
This is work in process. First phase of proposals less than 3 crore is already online fully. Things have started for 3 to 5 crore and once that settles, the 5 to 7.5 crores will start on stages.
So when do we expect the entire phases to complete?
It will go up to June.
Okay. Got it. And one more thing on the KCC book, that is the Agri Gold Loan book, is around 13% of your book. You mentioned that you have stopped, there will not be any unwinding. I think the unwinding should have stopped a couple of quarters ago, right? Because we had mentioned that all our documents and classification is clear now and there is no issue from the regulator. So am I getting this understanding wrong, or if you could elaborate on that why till now we have been declining the book?
No, we have not restarted that product. So once we heard from them, because it is something for which the interest subvention has to come from the Government of India. So there were the points came during the discussion and all, which we have to do an audit, we have to submit to that, and there were some discrepancy about 30-40 crores or something like that, discrepancy and all in overall income was there. So we observed all these things and we did not restart that process. We are evaluating. Once we get a comfort that we will be able to comply fully and all our processes are proper so that there will not be any issue in the future, we will be restarting that. So during that process, we had to unwind that entire portfolio.
Lastly, on the margin front, you said that the margins will remain. Margins, if the restructured book had not been reversed, the FITL reversal that you have undertaken of 25 crores, it would have been around 3.63%, right?
Yes, that's what we told.
Okay. Thank you. That's it. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sagar from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Just one thing from my side, if you could give out the SMA number, sir.
Which number?
SMA number, sir. SMA.
SMA 2 is about 2.3% or something. 2.38%.
Okay, and SMA 1?
SMA 1 is 1.98%.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's it from me.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you all for attending, and things have started coming back on track. So we are able to let's say march towards probably a four digit profitability figure for the current year, perhaps for the first time in our history. So all the issues whatever that came in our way during post COVID and financial year 22-23 and all have been now let's say one by one is getting back on track. And the last point, whatever is so for the growth, which we are trying to address and put our best efforts, things have already, we are able to see things coming, turning positive step by step, and whatever remaining will also be getting solved over a period of time. If at all you have any further question and all, as usual, you can get in touch with Mr. Raghuraman, who takes care of our investor relationship program, or any person with you have contacts and you are already being in touch with. So with this few words, I thank all of you, and also thank Ambit for arranging this conference. We hope all the issues are by and large over, and we should see things getting better and better as we move forward, and good days are ahead of us. Thank you all for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Ambit Capital Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line. Thank you.